Welcome to Living Above the Drama. I'm your host, Dr. Georgiana Donadio, and today my guest is Dr. Joe Martin. Dr. Joe grew up in one of the toughest areas in Miami. The neighborhood was so notorious that a popular violent video game was named after the city. Despite growing up in such challenging circumstances, he went on not only to be the first person in his family to graduate high school, but he went on to earn undergraduate, master's, and PhD degrees and work in the field of education. He started a business at 22, built a highly successful career, and was earning a six-figure income by the age of 30. Joe then went from rags to riches, and then to his life from the riches to ruin when his world crumbled around him due to falling into destructive vices. He hit rock bottom when he lost everything. His wife filed for divorce, his career was in shambles, and he almost lost his life. Joe's life then took another turn, but for the better, when he met Howard, a man who actually lived his life the way Joe wanted to. Howard did not tell him how to be a godly man, but he showed Joe how to become one. That's when the fourth stage of his life started, the stage of redemption. Today, Dr. Joe Martin conducts an education and leadership organization for men to become better men, fathers, and husbands. The name of his organization is Real Men Connect. Dr. Joe, welcome to the show. I'm so delighted to have you on.
Thank you. It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me on this morning. I am so excited.
Well, I'm excited, too. I mean, we had a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun talking to you. I didn't realize that we spent an hour and a half on the pre-interview.
I know, really.
I know. And that's how fascinating your story is. And I personally, I love rags to riches stories, but I love rags to riches to ruin to redemption stories even more. So this is going to be a delight for the listeners. And I think there'll be lots of wonderful information that we can all walk away with. Why don't you start us at the very beginning? You have quite a tale to tell. I mean, most people know that. Now, you are from the South Beach, Miami area, right? Isn't South Beach, Miami in the same
place? Well, I'm not from the actually South Beach part of it, but I was from Miami.
Okay,
a place called Liberty City.
Liberty City. Where is South Beach in connection with Liberty City? Because most people know where Miami is, and they know that there's a pretty rough area there. But how far is South Beach? Isn't that the glamorous side?
Yes, that's the glamorous side. So it's located south in the south section of Miami. Miami actually is not a really, really big city compared to like a Houston or an Atlanta. But for Florida, it's pretty decent size. But if you look at Miami in blocks, it's the south side, east south side of Miami on the beach, near the beach.
Okay. So like Chicago and like Washington, it's a city that has the haves and have nots,
absolutely,
right? Okay. So I mean, I think every city is kind of structured like that, and to some extent. But here you were, a young boy living in a pretty notorious location, which actually became known for this video game. Tell us about your upbringing. Tell us about what molded you, what crafted you into the young person you became.
Well, I would say started the process, but I didn't get molded into the man that I am today until I had what I call an intervention. And that intervention was meeting a older man when I was in my 30s, who kind of just showed me a different side of manhood and had me look at myself in the mirror and realized that I had a lot of deficiencies in which I needed some help. In other words, I couldn't become the kind of man I wanted to be without the help of a better man. Mm-hmm. And so he was that better man that I found. So, but in the beginning, it started in Liberty City, Miami. I was the son of a teenage mom. My mom had me at the age of 16 and had my sister at the age of 17. And my dad, he did the right thing. He married her when he found out that she was pregnant with me, but he ended up leaving her after the second child. I guess it was a bit too much for him to handle. But he left, and so my mom had to raise us as a single mom when I was 2 years old with the help of my grandfather, who was around at the time. And that was the only male figure that I saw initially growing up, and I loved him dearly, but he passed away when I was only 10 years old. And that probably was beginning of the end of my childhood as I knew it, but I didn't know it at the time, because he was the protector. He was watching over me. I was his favorite grandchild, and he had several, not just me and my sister. And so him not protecting me and not being under his wing, and my mom was going through her own personal struggles and battles with alcoholism. And, you know, you can imagine being a teenager dropping out of high school with two kids, and the man that you loved, who you saved yourself for, left you. She was pretty depressed. And so that means that when she was trying to do the best she can as a mother, that means she wasn't always paying attention. And so that allowed me to get exposed to a lot of things that most children should never get exposed to. We're talking about drugs, alcohol, prostitution, hustling, gambling, violence, you name it. And there was a man that that we allowed into our lives, who my mom wanted to help raise me and teach me how to be a man, a family member, who came in and to his credit, took better care of me, even then my mom was taking better care of me, because we really struggled financially, and there was times that I didn't eat. And so this man came in and took care of me, clothed me, and everything. And he was only about maybe 7 or 8 years older than I was, a young guy. And he built up her trust, my trust, and we didn't realize that he was prepping me and preparing me, because he betrayed that trust and sexually abused me as a child for 3 years. And so my vision and my conception of manhood was totally destroyed, because here I am now questioning my own masculinity and questioning the sincerity of men, because I'm thinking now you can't trust them, or I think that they abandoned their responsibilities like my dad did. And so, and I'm watching my community where I'm seeing thousands of males, but none of them are men. And when I say that, I mean that I saw all of these older men, but they were never with children. But then I saw all these boys, but they were never with their fathers. So there was this disconnect that I couldn't understand. And so that was the childhood part of it. So I told you that it didn't shape me as a man. It just hardened my heart towards men. And then I moved into the stage that you mentioned earlier about the riches part. And I say riches, I put that in air quotes, because I wasn't a millionaire. But I got out of the projects by just sheer determination. And I wasn't a great student in school. I barely graduated from high school. I was the first in my family to graduate from high school. But because I was challenged by a Navy recruiter who tried to redirect me, because I was going to join the military, and I told him I wanted to try college. And I guess he didn't do it intentionally, but he kind of discouraged me. He told me that that I wasn't that smart. He said I was a good person, but I just wasn't college material. And he told me that he saw my SAT scores and that they were so low that they wouldn't let me drive by college. So I actually decided to go to college just based on a dare, not because I thought I was smart or I had confidence, because I wanted to prove this guy wrong. And that's when it changed around my economic situation, because I was able, after being turned down by at least 30 colleges, to get into a community college. Ended up getting a 4.0 my first semester, taking 17 credits because I was crazy. But I ended up getting my AA degree, got scholarship offers to a smaller college, about 10,000 students, the University of West Florida in Pensacola, where I went to school there, graduated early at the age of 20, top of my class, was voted student of the year. And I was the only African-American male in all of my classes in my major. And so here I was now excelling, where I just barely graduated from high school and eventually became the youngest professor ever had to teach in the state of Florida at the age of 24. I started my first business at 22, moved my mom out of the projects a year after I graduated, bought my first house when I was a senior in college. And it just kept making accomplishments and achievements. And I thought I had made it, got married. And then the ruin part came, when a lot of my past came. You know, I tell people, if you got to bury your past, you better make sure it's dead, because my past wasn't dead, because a lot of those childhood issues and trauma came back to haunt me. But you ready to say something?
I'm going to stop you right there, because before you get to the ruin, okay, there's a lot of stuff I just want to review, because there's some such good stuff in between. And thank you for sharing that so eloquently, Joe. A couple of things. First of all, you were always a good kid, right? You were the good kid.
Yeah, I wasn't in trouble, didn't get suspended, none of that. No gang, I wasn't gang
affiliated. Right, you didn't do drugs, in a gang. You did. So there were really positive things that were going on for you in your life up till the age of 10. You had your grandfather, number one. So in a sense, we're going to talk about Howard and the man you met and who really role modeled for you. But you had a role model in your grandfather. And I'm bringing this up because the importance of being able to see, not be told, but to see
right.
what love and commitment and responsibility looks like is so important. And this is one of the big things about what you do now. What you're doing is you're taking the role models that really formed you, really molded you into the good man that you've become. And that started when you were very young. It also was part of what your mom did, because she was a good mom. She did that. You said she did the best she could. I mean, here's a child having children,
yeah.
and she did the best she could. And you saw that commitment. You saw that determination to, you know, really be the best she could be under those very difficult circumstances. Then you had your grandfather. So I think it's important that we lay the foundation. You did have some good stuff there, even
well, yeah.
though you were dodging bullets in the middle of Miami. And the determination, I mean, what I love about the story, what I hate about the story is that a recruiter actually told you that you didn't have the smarts to drive by a college, no less go to college. But what I love about the story is that you had the determination and the courage and the tenacity to say, I don't believe you. You know, God made me better than that. You know, I'm meant for good things. And so you went and you really put your nose to the grindstone, and you became an excellent student, and you went on to accomplish a lot in the field of education. Now you, from what I've read about you and I understand about you, you know, you had a business before starting Real Men Connect that was all about educating and consulting for educational organizations, and you were a star. You did really, really, really well. So I just want the listeners, I want to bring them up to speed to know that you have a really true grit story. It's one of those really inspiring, you know, pulled yourself up by the bootstraps type of story. And so before we go to the next phase, which is, you know, the ruin part, I just want to talk a little bit about the riches. Remarkably, you bought a home, and you told me this story. You got to tell this story. This is incredible. You're such a smart guy that you were a college student and you engaged this real estate agent to help you to know how to buy a house. Can you tell us all about that? Because it's a great story.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't say that I was smart. I would say I'm a person who had just a lot of good common sense. And my thing is, if I see someone who has what I want or they're doing what I like to do, I just have a simple philosophy. Go up and ask them, get the answers, and then take action. I call it the triple A threat. And so I don't know how smart that is. It's just that I just don't want to make mistakes. And so when I was in college, I talked to a student who had already graduated, and they told me that if they could go back and do things all over again, that they would buy and not rent. And I didn't understand that concept because I've always lived in projects. You know, we've always rented. And so I said, what do you mean buy? They told me about buying a home, but I didn't know how to buy a home. So I figured, okay, they could tell me how to buy a home, but they hadn't bought a home because they said they would have done it. So I figured, who knows how to buy homes or know about homes than anybody else who knows more about it? I said, well, a real estate agent. So I went to this real estate, and I will put them out there because I want to give them credit, Remax Realty. And it was a lady named Jane Wilcox, and I don't know if she's still living or not, but man, it'd be a great story if I can ever connect with her again. But I went to her real estate agency. I walked in. And I introduced myself. I said, hi, I'm Joe Martin. I'm a student at the University of West Florida. I said, I'm broke now, but I won't always be. And she started laughing at me, thought it was kind of cute. And I said, no, I'm serious. And she said, how can I help you? I said, well, I would like to buy a house. She said, you want to buy a house now? I said, no. I said, when I graduate, I will have money. And I heard that if you want to keep the money, you need to own, not rent. Could you teach me how to buy a house? She said, how serious are you about this? I said, well, come here as long as I need to until you teach me how to do it. And so I continued to go see her until I graduated from college, and I knew all about buying a home and what the down payment, making sure you have good credit. So this lady actually kept me out of debt because she told me not to get credit cards like most college students do. And so by the time I graduated before I graduated from college, she told me that if I landed a great job and if it was a solid job that they were to put it on in writing, that she could use that as leverage to show that I have employment. And I landed a great job with the federal government, a great job as a GS-11 working in public relations. And I was able to get them to sign the offer that they were going to make me. She used that as leverage, and we were able to get a foreclosure on a townhouse, on a two-bedroom, two-bath townhouse. And I was able to, by that time I had saved enough money because she told me so I put money away. And I even have more money than I needed to get the house. So all you need to do is come up with a down payment, not the whole house money. So I was able to move in to my first house while I was still sitting in the audience getting my degree.
Wow. I mean, that I'm sorry, but that is an amazing story. And what's very interesting is that you did that at a time in our culture and economy where you could still do that.
Yeah.
You know, you could, you know, really seriously, I mean, I don't think people realize today how difficult it is for young people. You were young, you were 20, 22, 23, for young people to be able to try to.
At that time, I was 19. At the time.
Right, but by the time you bought your house, weren't you 22 when you bought your house?
But I graduated at 20, so I was, either I had just turned 20 or I was still 19 when I was able to get the house.
So you got the job commitment even before you
graduated. Yeah, I got the job commitment. I had three job offers and I accepted the job with the federal government. And so as soon as I graduated, I started work.
Well, it's fabulous. And I just want to say that it's very difficult for young people to try to do that today. Some do, but it's not like it used to be. So you took advantage of all of the resources that you had at your disposal. And that's absolutely fantastic. Then you went on, just to throw it in before our first break, I just want to say you then went on to do what I call the rock star thing. You did the rock star thing. You bought a house for your mom, okay? Which is, to me, that's when you really reach a level of emotional and personal success is when, you know, you start to look back and think about where you came from and why you're where you are. And you did a wonderful thing and you bought a home for your mom. And I think that's just a great, you know, punctuation mark to that phase of your life. So we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about phase two. We've got the rags. We've got the riches. You're doing great. You know, we've got you on the road to, you were quite a star at what you were doing. You were making huge money. And when we come back from the break, let's talk about how you worked your way into some, you know, real celebrity status in your field of educational consulting. And then how all of this new work, new wonderful work that you're doing came about. So listeners, don't go anywhere. We're going to be back in just a moment with Dr. Jo Martin.
Are you tired of not feeling heard and not feeling valued? Are you longing to receive the love and respect you want? There is a solution right now. Transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills. Dr. Georgiana Venadio, relationship communication expert and number one national best-selling, award-winning author of Changing Behavior, explores the unconscious patterns contributing to stress, lack of fulfillment, and our relationship interactions. By learning and applying the simple principles of behavioral engagement, which has been clinically tested in leading hospitals, to develop mindful, pure presence, you can experience the happiness and fulfillment you deserve in your relationships. Begin changing your behavior today with Living Above the Drama radio show host, Dr. Georgiana Donadio. Call 888-354-4325. 888-354-HEAL. Call now.
Become credentialed for the emerging medical health and wellness field. Work within healthcare environments or start your own private practice and bill for your services with your own NPI number. Train for this exciting specialty in patient-focused health and wellness education with the National Institute of Whole Health, NIWH, the only nationally accredited training program for patient health education and advocacy. Open to credentialed health and education professionals, our training qualifies for health educator liability insurance, a national provider identification number, and our expert-prepared billing and coding manual.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health, visit www.niwh.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL. 888-354-4325.
If someone said you could transform your life and enhance your relationships by using a few simple communication techniques that can be applied in almost any setting, would you want to learn these skills? If the answer is yes, you've picked up the right book. This easy-to-read guide is loaded with simple skills that have been scientifically shown to have a huge impact on our relationships. By using the steps in this book, you will be able to enhance not only your life, but the lives of everyone around you. If you have the intention to practice and apply these skills, it will become a natural part of who you are. A true must-read for anyone who wants to transform their professional and personal lives. Changing behavior. Immediately transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills by Georgiana Donadio.
You can purchase Changing Behavior by Dr. Georgiana Donadio by visiting Amazon.com, where it is available in both Kindle ebook and paperback.
Dr. Gaz is on the advisory board of HealthCorp, a new program which was begun by Dr. Mehmet Oz.
65% are overweight and 35% are obese, and the sharpest rise in this country is between the age group of 4 to 8 years old.
Throughout his career, he has been inspired by patients who have experienced dramatic recoveries through lifestyle changes.
The National Institute of Whole Health is a perfect example of how people will learn to really take control of their lives in a healthy way. What they've done is they've collected basically the who's who of integrative health, and they brought them together to give a series of lectures where they can then communicate with health professionals to basically deliver the message that we have to look at medicine from a different perspective.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health and their accredited professional continuing educational programs, go to www.wholepersonhealthcare.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL.
Back talking to Dr. Joe Martin, who is the founder of Real Men Connect. Hi, Joe. We're back again, and we are talking about stage three for you, which is, we're going to be talking about that. But just prior to stage three, which was the bump in the road, you had worked your way up. Here you are doing great. Mom's great. You're married now. You've got a daughter.
No, I had a kid. I had a son.
Oh, you had a son. Why did I think you had a daughter? I'm so sorry.
I have a daughter now.
Oh, you do? Yes,
That's the redemption story.
Yes, the daughter's in the redemption story. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, the rip is in the ruin.
Right. So you have your child. You have your son. You're married. And talk to us about how you really parlayed yourself. You were kind of naive. You didn't know that people could get big money doing consulting work, which you were very good at. So tell us about that, because it all leads up to the big road to ruin, right?
Yeah. My undergrad degree and my master's degree was in communication and public relations. So I was offered jobs in that field when I came out of college. But I quickly realized that I didn't care that much about it. And so, like most people do, because I was getting paid, I had a really good job, but I decided to start go into a different field. But I never thought about education. I just thought, okay, I'll just get into another field where I can make more money. And so I ended up taking a job as a financial broker, working for a large, I won't mention the company's name, but a large company, Fortune 500 company, and I became one of their top sales reps within probably a year. And I was still only, I think I was 23, you know, but I was pretty young. And so now I'm making more money than I did when I was working for the government. But then I got a taste of education when I was an adjunct professor at the University of West Florida, where I'd gotten my undergrad. And when I tasted that, it was done. I mean, I couldn't believe that even though I wasn't, you know, they didn't pay a lot of money, I couldn't believe how much joy I received from helping students succeed and achieve. And so that was the beginning of my life turning into going into a different direction. And I'm saving you a lot of the details, but I just tell you, like you said, I became a superstar in that field. And you become a superstar in the field of education when not only are you producing results in your classroom, but you're able to help others produce results in theirs. And I was able to help students turn around their behavior. I could reach the worst kids. But you imagine, I came from a bad environment, so I knew how to connect with them. And here I was still pretty young, close to their age. So I was this hip guy who knew how to talk to the kids, who could relate to the kids. And it caught the attention of teachers. And it caught the attention of administrators. And it caught the attention of legislators. And so I became this hot commodity of training, not only helping students achieve, but training teachers, helping administrators, being able to train their teachers on how to connect with kids. And so I started speaking, I started consulting, I started being writing books in education, and my fees started going up. And so for one day, for what we call a typical day of training, I would get paid 10 to 12 grand in a day. Just to do training for teachers. And so I had it all. And here I was, my wife didn't have to work. I have a young son, had multiple homes, and I had even a couple of businesses. And so life couldn't have gotten any better. And so here I am now, you're talking about in my 20s, before I even reached 30, of having this type of success, just doing really well. I had my own television show, my own radio show. It was just fantastic. This is fantastic. And I did not know. I thought this is going to be the rest of my life. I'll retire probably about 35, maybe 40, if I want to stick around a little bit longer. And I thought this was going to be the rest of my life, but that wasn't the case. So that was
okay,
the racist part.
Right, before you take the leap into ruin, though, okay? Mm-hmm. We're ready. We're kind of waiting now to get onto the road to ruin here. Mm-hmm. You were doing well, and yet your wife was starting, there were rumblings. I mean, I'm a woman. Yeah. I know how we women are. We're always trying to get everything on the table. We're the on-the-table people. Let's talk about it, honey. Let's try to straighten it out. And she was, there were rumblings because there were some things that you were doing or not doing. And you want to just talk about, like, I know you train men, and so it might be a good opportunity to just drop in some information as to what she was talking to and what you were ignoring before the ruin started.
Well, you know, in hindsight now, I can see that the riches had to go into ruin based on my life starting to unravel. And it wasn't that my wife was a bad wife. She wasn't a bad wife. She was a great woman. You know, we were immature because we got married at a young age. She was only 20. I was 22 when we got married. So we were really young. But what it was is just life. She wanted a man who could emotionally connect with her, who could be intimate with her without it just being physical. She wanted a man who was a great communicator but couldn't communicate his heart to her. And so what I see now in hindsight is what most women want. They want security, not just financial security, but emotional security and relational security. And what now I see as normal, that's what women normally want. What I saw is she's complaining. she's annoying me. What's wrong with this woman? How come she's not satisfied? What woman wouldn't want to stay home with her child and be able to have a family and could do whatever she wants to do, buy whatever she wants to buy? What woman wouldn't want a man who could fly her all over the world and not even have to pay for it because the people are paying me to go to all? I've been to every state at least twice in four different countries working. And so I'm like, why is this woman not happy? And me being immature as a man, because I really wasn't a man, I was just a successful male. That's what I call it. And I say successful, I put that in air quotes, because I had all the trappings of success, but I wasn't a mature man. And so I'm getting upset with her. I'm not understanding her. And I'm thinking something's wrong with her. Now, I'm not thinking anything's wrong with me. Now, given the fact she didn't know about my abuse, she didn't know about my issues with my mom, she didn't know about my feelings towards losing my grandfather, she didn't know about the feelings I had about my dad not being there, she didn't know that I lacked the skills and the things that it takes for a man to be a husband and a father, and yet I was a husband and a father. And so I didn't share any of that with her, and I'm thinking, what's wrong with her? Not realizing what was wrong with her was me, because I wasn't being open and honest and transparent about my vulnerabilities. Now, I could show her my strengths, but I was hiding my weaknesses from it. So that those cracks in the foundation eventually led to me being attracted away from her and looking at other women, because all it took was just one woman telling me, wow, what's wrong with your wife? If I was married to you, I wouldn't be like she is. I would do this. That was all I needed to hear to validate my stupidity. And as a result of that, I started, because I wasn't, you know, I wasn't into alcohol because I watched that, what it did to my mom. I wasn't into drugs because I saw how that killed some of my friends growing up. And I saw how my friends got incarcerated from selling the stuff. So I didn't want to have anything to do with that. I wasn't a gambler. I wasn't an overeater. So my vice became women. So it started with, initially it started with porn, because my quote wife wouldn't satisfy me, but that porn escalated into actually going to get women and finding women, because when you have the financial means, it allows you to be more stupid if you already stuck on it.
Yes, it gives you the freedom to be
freedom
stupid.
To So I had the freedom to be stupid, and so I just started where I would go, picking up women, finding women, sleeping with women, to the point that I became a serial adulterer, in which I had to come up with that term because it didn't exist. And the only way I could describe it is, you hear about serial killers, they kill so many people they can't remember where they buried all the bodies. Well, yeah, I became a serial adulterer that I couldn't remember all the women I slept with, to the point that a stranger would come up to me and told me I slept with her, I would have to take her word for it and couldn't even deny it because I wouldn't remember it. And I wasn't even high. That's how bad my addiction became.
Right.
And so eventually she found out, because I didn't tell her about it. I wasn't even telling my deepest secrets of my past. You know I was going to tell her about this. So when she found out, she did what the average woman would have done, threatened to kill me. She said, I can't handle this. I can't do this. All this time you've been lying to me. And so, of course, by that time, I'm telling her everything now because I want to save the marriage. That's what we do as men. When we blow up the marriage now, we want to save the marriage and say, okay, if I just come clean, maybe she'll forgive me and everything will be copacetic. And that's not realistic because it took years for you to get to that point and you can't fix it in a minute. And that's what we want to do as men a lot. And so she ended up leaving. So we hung together, we stuck together. And so it ended after 16 years of marriage, 16 years. So what I try to tell people is that I had achieved so much before the age of 30, but I pretty much almost lost it all by the time I was 40.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's pretty difficult. Now, I told you, I mean, I have heard this story. I've been in healthcare for many decades, and I've heard this story before about men who, and they do it, some men do it episodically. They will be married, the marriage will break up, and they'll go absolutely insane and sleep with 300, 400, 500 women, you know, ridiculous. Maybe not sleep with them, but have, you know, sexual relations with them. Mm-hmm. And then they'll get married again, and they'll be loyal, and then that'll be... And the point of it is what you talk about, and we want to get to that, it's a really important conversation, how men do not have a way of managing and handling the trauma and the events of life. Women, we're different. We cry, we scream, we yell, we talk to our friends, we go to our therapist, we pray, we do all these things.
And men suppress and isolate. That's what we do.
Right. And so men do not process. They do not, you know, come to understand the wisdom and the lessons of what's going on. So they bury it and bury it and bury it and bury it, and they shove it all the way down. And then what happens is like what happened to you. And so what's so important about what happened to you is that you came to discover that it really was a venting and an acting out a lot of the trauma that you never addressed. So you want to talk to us a little bit about how you came to understand that and process that, because you have subsequently married and you are not running around addicted to women.
Yeah, well, what eventually happened was me meeting a man, meeting Howard, who you had mentioned earlier, when I saw an example of what a real man is, because I saw him in his element around his 8 children, 5 boys, 3 girls, around his wife, who he had been married to for over 2 decades at the time. I saw this, and it was a shock to my system because, yeah, I knew about the term of being a husband, but I never really saw much of that when I was growing up as a child. My grandfather was there, but my grandmother passed when my mom was only 12, so I never met my grandmother. So I only saw one couple growing up my entire childhood. One couple, okay? And that couple did not even have a great marriage. Now, I didn't even know they did not have a great marriage, but I can see now it was very dysfunctional. They didn't even sleep in the same bedroom, in the same bed. They slept in separate rooms. And she was very condescending towards him, and he was very passive. So even that wasn't a good image of what marriage is all about, because as a young man growing up, I'm thinking, I don't want to get married. You know?
Sure.
That's what it's like.
Sure.
And so it wasn't until I met Howard that it changed everything for me, because now I had a lot of questions. And what happened when you said dealing with the trauma is that I wanted to find out, how did you become the kind of man that you are? How do I become a man? And what I found out from Howard is that you need another man, a coach. This is how I break it down, that you need a coach who can pour into you and mentor you. That's what Howard was. But I also recognize that from Howard and Love Howard, that you need to have connection and community. And they're two separate things. Community is a group of peers who are starting to do the same things that you do and want to become, and they go through the same struggles. And so they can say, man, me too, I can relate to that. Man, I've gone through, I've been sexually abused as a child. Yeah, man, my mom was a teenage mother. Oh, yeah, they don't have to be in all those aspects, but somebody who can understand where you, man, I grew up in the projects. Man, my dad left me, and I had a hard time with my dad. And so that's the community. And he also showed me that you needed to have connection. And that's an intimate inner circle group of men who they may not have a lot in common with you, but you could tell them your worst, your secrets, your struggles, and your scars, and your worst moments, and they won't lose respect for you. They'll love you the most when you deserve it the least. These brothers love you unconditionally. Now, understand, I didn't have any of this. I didn't have a Howard. I didn't have community. I didn't have connection. But yeah, I was making all this money. You know, so he's showing me that all that money doesn't make you a man. And then also I realized that he had to show me that you need to get counseling. That a counselor helps you look back and find out how'd you get there. Because Howard used to tell me, he said, Joe, your problem isn't women. Joe, your problem isn't pornography. It isn't. He said, Joe, you're not even an addict, which was crazy talk to me. I'm like, what do you mean? This is all the symptoms of an addict. He says, no, you're having addictive behavior. He says, but that's not who you are. That's what you're doing. But it all started someplace. And so he showed me that you need to get counseled. I had to get counseled. I was in counseling for 3 years. But then he gave me the most important element, which was how he even got to the point to be able to have all of that. He said, Joe, you must have an intimate personal relationship with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I had already been a Christian, and I put that in air quotes, but I didn't have a relationship, a personal intimate relationship with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I know a lot of people may not believe in Jesus Christ, but what we can't deny is that he was an exceptional man who knew how to love people and show love to people, but at the same time, love and worship and serve his Father in heaven. And so he modeled that behavior for me. So once I had a Christ relationship, I was able to get connection to community, get coaching, and then have some counseling helped me understand where the trauma came from. And I realized that my root issues was I had a lot of control issues, which you can obviously see now, because my life was out of control growing up. I had abandonment issues. And I was very insecure about my masculinity. And so when those issues and my identity was addressed, I became a different man. Because you change a man's identity, you change everything for him. So that was how I was able to go back and deal with the trauma of my past. And now you can see, now looking back, I wish, my ex-wife and I are pretty, we have a cordial relationship, but I know she's looking now and saying, who is this guy? You know, who is this man who's running this men's organization, training and coaching these men who my son worships? You know, who is this guy? That wasn't the guy I was married to. Because yeah. I didn't have those elements. I didn't have those pieces in the place. And I am so sorry. And I mean, there's not even a month that goes by. We've been divorced now for about 12 years. There's not a month that goes by that I don't regret how I treated her. But I realized that I didn't know any better. I did the best I could, and she was collateral damage. But I did it by trial and error. And so, of course, now having a daughter now who's a teenager. She's not my biological daughter, but you can't convince her she's not. I realize now that when she meets a young man, he has to have these pieces in place, or she is setting herself up potentially for a very rough marriage and rough relationship.
Well, you're teaching her, you're modeling for her,
yes.
You know, what she deserves and what
is
healthy and correct. A couple of things we want to talk about women for just, I just want to get a couple little comments in here about women.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I've read a lot, you and I discussed this. Marriages, everybody thinks it's the woman, you know, women determine the marriage, and women have a lot to say about marriage because men want to make women happy. They want to please a woman. That is their primary purpose within that relationship. And when a man is unhappy or confused or he is having identity problems, he can't make a woman happy because he himself is not grounded. He's not grounded in his own sense of self. And I think that's a really important thing, you know, to bring up. The other thing is that what we talked about, you know, divorce. Women push or create or arrange 9 out of 10 times it's the woman who's throwing the man out or asking the man for a divorce. And so often we do not really stop and ask the questions as we're raising our sons. What are we teaching men about how to process their feelings? What are we teaching men about women's expectations? You talked about, you know, and we're going to talk about that, about a relationship, a marriage being founded in faith, being founded in values. And this is so incredibly important. But if a man and a woman, neither of them are grounded in that, it's a problem. But when a man cannot listen to his wife, hear what he has to and what she has to say, and be willing to respond, this is where the problem comes in, right? Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? So one of the things that you do for men is you make them aware of their role, what women are looking for, which is, yes, you nailed it. It's emotional security. It's emotional stability. And that relationship cannot have that unless both of those people have something higher and bigger and more important in their life. One of the things I said to you is I believe, and I'm speaking as a woman, I think we women have a tendency to, I don't want to use the word worship because it's pretty strong, but women have a tendency to have really high expectations from men. And most men do not feel they can live up to them. If they're making money, they might feel that they can, but they don't have that foundation. So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk in this last segment. We've only got about 12 minutes left, but I want you to talk about what you're doing today, the work you're doing, and how you are helping men and women, because what you're doing is not only a gift to the men, but it's a gift to the women in their lives and their daughters in their lives and the people in their lives. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, Joe. And if you can just give us the totality of the excellent work that you're doing, I think that will be so wonderful to hear. Don't go away, everybody. We'll be right back.
Dr. Gass is on the advisory board of HealthCorp, a new program which was begun by Dr. Mehmet Oz.
65% are overweight and 35% are obese, and the sharpest rise in this country is between the age group of 4 to 8 years old.
Throughout his career, he has been inspired by patients who have experienced dramatic recoveries through lifestyle changes.
The National Institute of Whole Health is a perfect example of how people will learn to really take control of their lives in a healthy way.
What they've done is they've collected basically the who's who of integrative health, and they've brought them together to give a series of lectures where they can then communicate with health professionals to basically deliver the message that we have to look at medicine from a different perspective.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health and their accredited professional continuing educational programs, go to www.wholepersonhealthcare.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL.
If someone said you could transform your life and enhance your relationships by using a few simple communication techniques that can be applied in almost any setting, would you want to learn these skills? If the answer is yes, you've picked up the right book.
This easy-to-read guide is loaded with simple skills that have been scientifically shown to have a huge impact on our relationships. By using the steps in this book, you will be able to enhance not only your life, but the lives of everyone around you. If you have the intention to practice and apply these skills, it will become a natural part of who you are. A true must-read for anyone who wants to transform their professional and personal lives. Changing behavior. Immediately transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills by Georgiana Donadio.
You can purchase Changing Behavior by Dr. Georgiana Donadio by visiting Amazon.com, where it is available in both Kindle ebook and paperback.
Are you tired of not feeling heard and not feeling valued? Are you longing to receive the love and respect you want? There is a solution right now. Transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills. Dr. Georgiana Donadio, relationship communication expert and number one national best-selling, award-winning author of Changing Behavior, explores the unconscious patterns contributing to stress, lack of fulfillment, and our relationship interactions. By learning and applying the simple principles of behavioral engagement, which has been clinically tested in leading hospitals, to develop mindful peer presence, you can experience the happiness and fulfillment you deserve in your relationships. Begin changing your behavior today with Living Above the Drama radio show host, Dr. Georgiana Donadio. Call 888-354-4325. 888-354-HEAL. Call now.
Become credentialed for the emerging medical health and wellness field. Work within healthcare environments or start your own private practice and bill for your services with your own NPI number. Train for this exciting specialty in patient-focused health and wellness education with the National Institute of Whole Health, NIWH, the only nationally accredited training program for patient health education and advocacy. Open to credentialed health and education professionals, our training qualifies for health educator liability insurance, a national provider identification number, and our expert-prepared billing and coding manual.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health, visit www.niwh.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL, 888-354-4325.
Today we are talking with Dr. Joe Martin, who is the founder of Real Men Connect. Joe, before the break, I invited you to take us on, give us a little workshop, okay? You give us a little mini workshop here. You're doing wonderful work bringing men to themselves and bringing men to their spirituality and their relationship with God. Tell us about the work you're doing now and what is happening with the men that you are mentoring.
You know, well, I kind of gave you a prelude to it because basically what Howard did for me, I remember asking Howard, I said, Howard, this is years into our relationship, and I'm just like, why did I meet you when I was in my 20s, man? I'd be retired right now because I would be a great man with a lot of money. You know, but I told him, I said, well, what can I ever do to repay you? And Howard simply told me, because he changed my life, I would not be married, have, you know, the relationship I have with my son, who I've destroyed our family before, but he truly respects me, admires me, looks up to me as his dad, and wants to be the kind of man that I am, which is shocking to me, given what I've taken through, and to have a daughter now who's not my biological daughter, who she's looking at, this is the kind of husband I need to marry and who needs to be loving me. And then to see my wife, who's my biggest cheerleader, and she knows all about my past. She knows everything. I mean, this stuff I'm sharing with you, everybody knows this. And my wife loves me anyway. And just, I call her my ride or die chick. She's not going anywhere. She's going to be there to the end. But when I asked Howard, I said, Howard, what can I do to pay you? He says, Joe, all I want you to do, he said, you don't have to pay me anything. All I want you to do is pay it forward. He said, I want you to disciple other men. I want you to mentor and coach other men to do exactly what you've seen me do for you. And Howard never knew that I was going to start a nonprofit organization called Real Men Connect that basically would do what he did, but on steroids. So imagine an organization where we actively recruit men like Howard. I interview men like Howard to find out their secrets, their strategies, their struggles, their scars, and how they were able to overcome exactly what Howard did to me. I multiplied it immensely by launching a podcast that now has over 700,000 downloads in less than 3 years. You know, we're the top-rated podcast for Christian men on iTunes called Real Men Connect. Having an online closed community of over 500 men who come together to support one another so they have community. Remember I told you about connection, community, coaching, counseling, and Christ? Well, basically my whole organization is built on that. That's the workshop. When a man comes to us, basically, no man ever has to do life alone again. I don't care if he's been incarcerated. I don't care if he's a Fortune 500 CEO who is struggling. He has a safe place where he can get connection with some guys who will love him in spite of himself and would never lose respect for him. I don't care what his issue is because I've heard it all. He's going to come and have a place where there's community of thousands of men, hundreds of men he can interact on a daily basis. He's going to get coaching with some of the best men in the country, including having me coach him one-on-one if he wants to work with me individually. And he's going to get the counseling that he needs to deal with his trauma because we have counselors in our community. And he's going to, but more importantly, he's going to learn how to have an intimate, sort of personal, intimate relationship with Christ. We know this community is not what Real Men Connect is not for everyone because some people may shy away from it because it's faith-based. But that is what my foundation is built on because of what Howard did for me and having my foundation built in Christ and loving Christ. I was now learned how to love a woman the right way. And me loving my wife the right way spilled over to my family where I earned their respect because they saw how I'm treating my wife. And then having my family and my wife intact because of Christ, now I've gotten the attention of other men to say, how do you do that? No different than Howard got my attention. And now I'm getting them into community that I'm able to do our organization. And you had mentioned about how this benefits women. I'm going to tell you something that's going to shock you right now. We didn't talk about this in the pre-interview. Do you know our organization now is, Real Men Connect is now 4 years old, maybe 3 or 4 years old. Yeah, 4 years old this year. Yeah, 4 years old this year. We have more women donors than men. Did you hear what I
mean? I'm not surprised.
I'm able to do this. Now in finance, because I do this full time. I don't have a part-time job. I don't have another means of income to support my family, and it's rough. But we're able to be sustained for this long because we have more women donors, larger donors than the men. It is unbelievable. Unbelievable. Well, it kind of makes me upset at the same time, but I understand.
Well, to be honest with you, I don't find that surprising. Why?
Well, surprising to me.
Yeah, well, I know. I'm sure it is surprising.
You're running a men's organization.
Look, here you go. Let's talk about this for a couple of seconds. The thing of it is that women are always, isn't that men's complaints about women? Aren't we always working it? I have heard more men say, you women are always working it. You're always trying to find a new entree, a new angle. You're trying to bring up that conversation again. You're trying to make this thing work, aren't you? You know, the accusation against women is we're always trying to get to, the truth is we're trying to get to God, okay? We're trying to do is we're trying to create that heaven that happens when men and women connect outside of their ego in the context of love, which is the context of God. So women are always working it, Joe. That's what we're doing. So I'm not surprised that women are making a huge donation because we want, you know, what we want in a man, and you've just witnessed to this thing, the whole conversation. Women want the divine. We want the good. We want man at his most godly. And this is why the work that you're doing is so incredibly important. And I hope you don't mind interjecting this, but I think women do drive this conversation. I do.
Yeah, and you know, and I get it now, and I'm thankful for the women who, my wife, and I tell you, is my biggest cheerleader, and I'm just being totally transparent with you now. I don't know why I'm prompted to tell you this, but working with men is very, very tough. It's very, very hard. You guys think you have a hard time dealing with men. Imagine me dealing with them and their vulnerabilities and their struggles, and when they don't want to go get the help that they need, and or they won't implement it because they want her to change first, and they're impatient with their wife after they've caused a lot of damage. So I'm just being honest with you. This is such a tough thing that I do with this organization that I'm not kidding you. At least once a week, I think about quit. At least once a week. But my wife, she won't let me quit. She says, because she works with women and she runs a fitness business, a fitness studio, one of the best trainers here in town, and she deals with hundreds of women. And the more she deals with women, the more she sees what I'm doing is necessary. And we've had quite a few donors, even from her clients, just say, hey, I want to support what you're doing, because what you're doing is great. Keep doing what you're doing. And so I'm not surprised now, but my wife would not let me not do this. And matter of fact, she has helped us launch another program in our organization of targeting now younger kids, because I was focusing strictly on the adult male. But she said, Joe, you were in education. You know how to reach kids. Shouldn't you be training up the kids too? Because my thinking was, if I train the man, they can raise up the kids. And so now we run a program together, my wife and I. One of our programs in Real Men Connect is we have something called the Boys to Real Men Challenge, where we work with single moms. Sound familiar now? Single moms, we have sons who are good kids, but in tough situations. Doesn't that sound like what I was?
Yes, exactly.
And so we work with them at 6 weeks at a time, where they do life. Now, check this out. They do life with us. I say with us, me and my wife. So they get to see a husband and a wife together. My wife does the physical training. I do the mental and character building. Now, most men, it's just, they think it'd be the opposite. That I'll be dealing with physical, and my wife will be doing the character. No. Your job as a man is to build the character of your children, not just to make them, quote, stronger physically. And my wife is ex-military, ex-law enforcement, so I tell them also, I said, she's stronger than me anyway. But to see us working together with these boys, it is changing their lives, because they're thinking, this is marriage? A husband and wife working together where they respect one another, and wow, look at the way she looks at him, and she's strong. And she admires and respects him. So it is just messing up everything for these little boys, because they don't have their fathers there. And the moms, of course, are loving it. The moms are thinking, wow. But I will say this is something that's been surprising to me, and maybe it won't be surprising to you. But we noticed something, that when the boys, I check on the boys every single day, every day, and they see us 3 times a week, okay? And I check on them. Anytime the moms have a problem with the boys, guess who they go to first? My wife.
Well, yeah.
They'll go to her. And my wife says, tell Joe. So, all you got to do is tell your son, I'm going to tell Dr. Joe, and he'll straighten up, right? But she says, Joe, they're so used to doing it by themselves, they don't even know how to go to a man to ask for his help. So that's just something that's been surprising to me, that they are going to my wife to say, my son is doing this. And she said, okay, I'll tell my husband, right? Because you don't want me correcting him. You want my husband to correct him.
Exactly.
They're used to women correcting him all the time. That's interesting.
I cannot believe we're at the end of the show. I could talk to you. I could have you talk about this forever and ever. You are you're a joy, a blessing. I think what you're doing is just marvelous. Your ministry is important, and it's obviously blessed. And it's hard. It's hard.
Yeah, it's hard.
To do what you're doing. And, you know, on behalf of all of us, look, I think when people are happy, when women are happy, when men are happy, when children are happy, we all live in a happier world. And I think you found the formula. You're doing tremendous work. And, I'm just thrilled to have you on the show. Everybody, if you want to know more about Dr. Joe Martin, you can go to www.realmenconnect.com. And I've asked him to please consider writing the book quickly. Get that book out there, Joe.
Oh, yeah. I'm working on it.
And thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you. Anytime.
Listeners, don't forget to come back next week when we have another inspiring, informational, and educational program on Living Above the Drama.